sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
On this Holy Trinity Sunday, I have to share a quote with you from St. Augustine of Hippo. Hippo was a province of modern-day Algeria in northern Africa. And in the Sunday Sermons of the Great Fathers, Volume 3, Augustine said this about God. In the 4th century, only material bodies fill or occupy material space. The Godhead is beyond all space. Let no one seek the Godhead as though it were in space. Everywhere the Godhead is invisible and indivisibly present. Who can comprehend this? What then are we to say of God? For if you have grasped what you wish to say, it's not God. If you have been able to comprehend it, you would have comprehended something else in the place of God. If you had been almost able to comprehend it, your mind has deceived you. It is not God. If you have understood it, but if it is God, you have not understood it. I mean, isn't that great? Honestly, I admit to getting a little annoyed over the years, people trying to explain the Trinity. I mean, lots of creative things out there, you know, but it's really gets under my skin when it's as simple as ice and water and vapor. Or, you know, the way that one person is simultaneously a mother, a sister, a daughter at the very same time. I can wrap my mind around those things. But the Trinity, sometimes we just have to quiet ourselves and be in awe at the mystery. Be still and trust that God is God. Holy Trinity Sunday, siblings in Christ. We gather this day on yet another mountaintop where Jesus gives us the great commission, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name. And here is one of the few places in the Bible where we have a Trinitarian formula, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The word Trinity is not used. But this happens here today in our text at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. We visit a lot of mountaintops as we move through the church year. I like to think of it as mountaintops, especially this year of Matthew, year A. Valleys and mountaintops, I suppose. Maybe we don't always think of Jesus' ministry in terms of altitude changes, but think about it. Jesus was born in the Bethlehem plain. I mean, we know Bethlehem is a plain. It's lower in altitude. But very soon, he ascends in our church year up the mount back in Galilee in the Gospel of Matthew to give that sermon. It's only in chapter 5. We read that this year in January, actually, the Sermon on the Mount. So quickly, from Christmas to the Sermon on the Mount, from plain up the mountain, then back down to sea level where he does his ministry until the mount where he is transfigured. Transfiguration Sunday. That was in mid-February this year. Then back down into the Valley of Lent, which finally ends with another mount, Calvary. And then from that blessed cave in the valley, the Messiah emerges, rises from the dead, only to climb in the Gospel of Matthew, right back onto the same mountain, scholars think, where he delivered the sermon at the very beginning. So we have kind of a full circle there. And here's where he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And that's the end of Matthew's gospel. There is no ascension, actually, in this telling. We assume that, maybe, so that it matches up with Luke's telling, but what's the purpose in Matthew leaving that out or not talking about that? I mean, Matthew actually tells us what his purpose is, what the purpose is. It's the opposite of Jesus leaving, which ascension sometimes feels like leaving. It's the opposite of leaving. Jesus promises to always stay with us. My New Testament professor always wanted to point that out. There is no ascension. Jesus never leaves us in Matthew's gospel. I am with you always, he says. The end. It's another mountaintop moment for us, friends in Christ. It's only this time, Holy Trinity Sunday on the Mount, and we're gazing down from this mountaintop Sunday. We're gazing down into the beautiful valley of the green Sundays that are coming up, lasting all the way through the summer. The color in here is green, and the ordinary time is what we call it, which means there's kind of an order to the telling of the story. It's not ordinary, like boring. And there's just an order. There's an order coming up here now. We actually go back this long season. We actually go back and tell the stories in the Gospel of Matthew, the images, the teachings of Jesus for the people of God who come to partake in that lush green valley, if you will. We return to all those parables and teachings this coming summer and into the fall. We kind of did a mega picture first, the life, death, resurrection, the big theological themes of Jesus through this first part of the year, pulling a lot of those texts from John's gospel. So now in our liturgical year, we go back, we move slowly through Matthew's gospel back to sea level. But before all that, here we are today. And I believe that the Spirit is encouraging us today to just stand in awe at the mystery of the triune God before we hike back down into the summer of Matthew. Like we say in Transfiguration Sunday, remember Transfiguration Sunday where Jesus becomes all bright and shiny with Moses and Elijah at his side right before we go into Lent? Like we learn on Transfiguration Sunday, we can't stay on the mountaintop. We can't live on the mountaintop. We could just stay for a morning. So let's be in a state this morning or this day or even this week and stay for a little bit. Let's be in a state of praise and thanksgiving here on the mountaintop at the beauty and the mystery of the Trinity. May we this Holy Trinity Sunday be in praise on this little mountaintop Sunday. My old bishop, Murray Fink, I think his legacy for the church, his gift, was this book that he published called Stretch and Pray, where you physically put yourself into the positions of the four parts of the liturgy, the gathering, the word, the meal, the sending, you know, and parts of that too, the prayers of intercession, and the position for the confession and forgiveness at the beginning was that you'd get down on your knees and you'd put your hands behind your back and you'd curl up in a little ball and you'd actually put your forehead, if you could stretch that way, you could put your forehead down onto the ground. And then receiving God's forgiveness. After the confession, he'd talk us through and would open up our hands and would receive God's showering of grace. I think too about Sister Ramona. She was our voting member, one of our voting members, along with Robin yesterday at the Synod Assembly. And Sister Ramona got up, inspired by the Holy Spirit. She got up and danced as we sang, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. And she moved in this position that was just, she opens up her hands, fall fresh on me, and just receives this grace. May we this Holy Trinity Sunday be in praise this little mountaintop Sunday. What does it look like to just stand in awe, to open your hands and receive? Because when it comes down to it, like Augustine of old, we have to admit there's really not a lot that we can say about God. We just have to get out of the way and let God be God. What does that look like? How do we live into that in this state of grace? In my weekly newsletter, I reflected on last Sunday's partnership with this Sunday. Last Sunday was Pentecost, and I see a real partnership, and in some ways a little contrast between the two Sundays. We need them both. This year, when it comes to Pentecost, I keep thinking about Mike Crum's comment in Bible study about how Pentecost, the disciples could actually understand each other. All that misunderstanding when they were with Jesus and all those stories, and Jesus was like, why don't you get it? And then in Pentecost, they can all understand one another, and it's not just the languages. That's Pentecost. Different lives, different traditions, different backgrounds, different pronouns, different persuasions, different opinions, different hobbies. All this diversity, and yet they are all one in the Spirit. That's Pentecost, understanding each other. Now, Holy Trinity, 1 week later, that's about not understanding, not comprehending, not grasping, not each other, but God. Just basking and praising and receiving. This might sound obvious, except when we realize, at least I think we often do the opposite. We often don't get our neighbors and yet claim to know God. I understand God. I think I know what God wants, who God is. Yeah. I just have no idea what my sister is thinking, what my sister's doing, where she's coming from, what my friend, what that stranger is thinking, right? We need both of these Sundays. Pentecost to call us back to the church's original state of embracing peaceful unity in glorious diversity and taking our hands off of God as if God is some kind of material, as Augustine notes. Taking our words, except our poetic words, taking our words off of God, because it all falls short. That's Holy Trinity Sunday. We really have to rely on the artists and the poets and the musicians and the dancers to help us honor the mystery of the Trinity. This Sunday, we're singing a new song from our new hymnal, for Holy Trinity Sunday, The Play of the Godhead by Mary Louise Bringle. Envisioning the sacred three as a dance into which we're invited, or as she says, a web daily spun in spangles of mystery, the great three in one. I love that. It's Augustinian, isn't it? Others have tried too with words, some words about what we can't say words about. You know, God's a verb, Fuller says. God is a verb. Paul Tillich said God is being itself. Luther said, God writes the gospel not in the Bible alone, but on trees and flowers and clouds and stars. And that reminds me, I know that's not specifically about the identity of God, but God's action. God writing the gospel in all creation reminds me of our rich and colorful first lesson from Genesis, the first chapter today. Wonderful to hold all these quotes, all these images gently in balance as we celebrate and reflect on that beautiful creation story on this Trinity Sunday. Okay, here's my own artistic try at envisioning or putting some very gentle words around this Holy Trinity on this mountaintop Sunday, and a way to invite you to simply bask and praise. Here's my thought. You're already being danced around by God. Have you ever been danced around? It's hard not to crack a smile when people dance around you, even when you're upset. When a few others just start dancing around you, just sit there sometime and have, you know, or do this to one another, you know, just dance around. Couple friends or family members crank up some music and boogie on down all around you. Have you ever experienced this? My brothers, they used to get me laughing every time, especially when I was upset. Heather and the kids can do this too. You are already being danced around by God, siblings in Christ. God has cranked up the music of creation. Listen to it, study it, celebrate it, protect it, and then just try not to crack a smile as the Trinity is rocking out all around you, sliding from side to side, snapping, bouncing all around, taking you by the hand and beckoning you to join, even and especially when we're upset, when we're broken, when we're lost, when we're down, when we're checked out. And many times it's just when we're talking too much. We're talking and describing and describing and teaching and teaching, trying to put categories and order and control around what is as joyful as a dance. Siblings in faith, when it comes to the triune God, at some point, we just have to shut up and join the dance. Amen.
Us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.